God bless you all. Well, as you, if you hadn't guessed yet, the theme of today's service is victory. And the title of the sharing that I'd like to do today is called More Than Conquerors. So where do you think we're going to go? Romans chapter 8. All right, so open your Bibles, please, and we're going to start in verse 31 of Romans 8. And I'm going to read it out of the Aramaic translation first. What then should we say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one! Right. There is only one answer to that question. No one, nothing could ever be against us if God is for us. So he goes on to explain why. And if he did not spare his son, but delivered him up for all of us, how will he not give us everything with him? How much?
Everything.
Everything. Who can accuse the chosen ones of God? God justifies. He doesn't accuse, he justifies. Who condemns? Christ died and rose and is at the right hand of God and makes petition on our behalf. What will separate me from the love of Christ? Is it trial or distress? How about persecution? Famine? Nakedness? We wouldn't want that. No nakedness. Okay. Or peril or sword? Any of those things? And then verse 36. As it is written, because of you, every day we are dying and we are counted as lambs to the slaughter. That's a quote from the Old Testament that we're going to look at a little bit later. And verse 37 says then, nay, or on the contrary, in all these things, no matter what it is, trials, distress, persecution, even nakedness, all right, we are victorious by way of him who loved us. We are more than conquerors, is what King James says, right? We are more than conquerors. Well, I think to be a conqueror would be pretty good. But to be more than a conqueror or to be victorious in every single thing, that's what God is promising us here, is that we can be victorious by way of him who loved us. And the reason we can is because he did love us. Now, I have to admit, and you probably do too if you get really honest, there are days where I don't feel so victorious. And that, actually, there was a period of time maybe a couple months ago where I was really going through a sort of a low spot. And I was crying out to God and just saying, I totally believe with all my heart that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I mean, you can read the entire chapter of Romans 8, and it starts out with, there is therefore now no condemnation, right? But I wanted to know if there was more to it, because I want to be able to see in my life, day by day by day, this more than conqueror thing, right? And so it just caused me to start studying it and to look at it a little bit more. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning, some of the things that God so graciously has showed me about this word to be victorious. So the first thing to share with you is that the Aramaic word is zakaya. It's spelled Z-A-K-A-Y-A, and the verb is Z-E-K-A. So you have these two letters, Z and K, all right? And so it paints a picture. So you want to know what the picture is? All right, this is so cool. The picture Z stands for a weapon or an implement. It could be an agricultural type of implement that you would use for harvesting something, but the Z stands for a weapon or an implement. And then the K is an open hand. So when you put these two letters together, very simply, it means implements in our hand or weapons in our open hand. where we open our hand and God puts the weapons in there. And so this is the foundation of what I have to share today, is that all of our implements or the victory that we have, God has literally put in our hand. Now, there's a couple of really familiar verses that you will start to see this. So go back to Romans 5. We're just going to look at a couple ones that you are very familiar with first. Romans 5, verse 18. In like manner, therefore, because of the error of one, condemnation was to all men. Who did that error? Adam, right. So also because of the uprightness of one, who did that?
Jesus
Christ. The victory for life will be to all men. The victory, this implements in your hand, comes by way of the uprightness or the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how we got it. And, okay, now go over to 1 Corinthians 15. You can probably think of lots of other verses that are about victory, but these are just a couple. Just to remind us, you know, so we don't forget, we really do have victory. And this is why. But when you look at these verses and you start seeing where the implement or where the weapon comes from, in that past one in Romans, it's because of the righteousness of Christ. That's how we got the victory of life. Now in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, it says, "But blessed be God who gives us the victory by way of our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's talking about death being swallowed up in victory, right? Where is your sting, O death? Where is your victory, O grave? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Why? What implement did he put in our hands? He gave us the promise that we are going to have a new body, that we will not stay in the grave. That's how come it cannot have victory. The grave cannot have victory. It's like we held out our hand. God said, here you go. Now you're going to get a new body, and I'm going to raise you up. And then we're going to be together for all eternity. Woohoo! That's pretty fabulous victory. I just love this stuff. Okay, 2 Corinthians, verse chapter 10. This, I said, these are familiar verses. 2 Corinthians 10. And start in verse 4. It says, "For the equipment of our service," or the weapons of our warfare, is King James, right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not of the flesh, but of the power of God. And by it, by the power of God, we overcome rebellious strongholds. And we pull down reasonings and all pride that elevates itself against the knowledge of God, and we lead captive all thoughts to the obedience of Christ. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh, but they are of the power of God. So it's like you open your hand and God put the power of God in our hands to use. So then we have to say, okay, I think I'm going to use it. And you take it to yourself. You can't just leave it out here going, oh, isn't that so wonderful? I have the power of God in my hand, right? You have to start using it. And that's one of the biggest things that I started thinking about. And then that led me to study the Hebrew word for to be victorious. And so we need to go to Daniel chapter 6 for a minute. The Hebrew word is spelled very similarly to the Aramaic word, so it's Z-A-K-A, Zaka. And so it has those same letters, Z and K. When you put them together in the word that's actually spelled that way, it means to be pure, free from impurities, You can translate it innocent, clear, or clean. So it has this idea of being pure or to be clean or free from impurities. And the example where it's used is talking about the oil in the temple was refined and made pure to the place where it could be used in the service of the tabernacle and of the temple. Another example was of a crystal. Because a crystal is embedded, you know, we find it, crystals embedded in rocks, right? But the crystal itself, within itself, is completely pure. It builds the crystalline form from within itself, and it's clean and pure in itself, no matter what else is surrounding it. So that's really the picture of how God has given us his spirit, which is completely pure within itself. And it's clean, it's refined, it's complete, it's whole. And then he kind of embedded it in this rock outside, you know. But the spirit itself is where the power is. And it's completely pure. We talk a lot of times about our sonship rights, how we have righteousness and sanctification and holiness and all these great things, redemption, right? Well, nobody has ever talked about how we have purity. God literally made us pure and innocent. And this word zakah can either be translated victory or innocence. So the victory is actually wrapped up in something to do with this purity. So I'll show you an example in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 22. This is the record of Daniel in the lion's den, right? And so we're not going to read the whole record, but Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, right? But God just shut the lion's mouth, right? So they could not harm him, right? Well, this is the summary of why the lions did not harm him. Verse 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. The reason that Daniel had victory was because he was literally innocent. He was made innocent and blameless. And the innocency part of it was wrapped up in how the lions could not touch him. Now take it and apply it a little bit to our situation in our lives, because we have been given this innocency or this purity. We've been given it literally to be in the spirit within us, that resides within us. It's not to do with our works or our life, because when we start looking at the things that we do, we see that our lives are not pure. You know, we're the rock. On the outside, it's all rock, okay? But when you start looking at the crystal that's inside, and realize that that's where the purity is, that's where the innocency is, and that's why we can live our lives with being blameless. And it gives us the right and the courage to go to pray for each other, for example. Because when I was thinking about this, the reason I was thinking that I didn't see victory over and over and over again on a really consistent basis during this period of time was because I was focused on my outside and thinking, well, I'm not worthy to pray for this person. You know, look at my life is all screwed up. It's got all these problems and, you know, I'm not doing this and I don't have that and da 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 da. And so I was totally looking at the rock. I was not looking at the pure center at all. But when I started turning it and looking at what Christ had done and how he had really given me this innocency, really, that that's part of what he put as a weapon in my hand. And I could take it and just go, okay, he made me pure. He made me blameless. That's the reason I have the right to go and pray for anybody, anywhere, in any situation. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not because we are so great, but because he's so great. So go back to Romans 8 a little bit, and just look at that verse about we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Romans 8, verse 36. Okay, verse 36. You go through all that great stuff about who shall separate us from the love of Christ. And then it says, as it is written. So we have to go back and see where it is that this particular quotation is written. It says, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And I don't know about you, but I've always read this going, yeah, right, we really are sometimes into this slaughter mode here where... here we go, down the drain. Do, 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 do. And I know it says nay, right? But somehow we get stuck on the we're counted as sheep for the slaughter thing. So go back and look at Psalms. It's from Psalm 44. This is a really interesting psalm because Psalm 44 is basically a cry for help. And so whenever you see this or somebody says something about this, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter thing again, you're going to be realizing that it's really a cry for help. Okay, first I want to read verses 4 through 8, because this is the confession that the psalmist is doing. And he's saying, thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. See, it's a confession of I'm not going to trust in my flesh. I am not going to trust in some bow, you know, an outward weapon or something that, you know, is a physical sword. Because it will never cut it. But the spiritual sword will. But thou, verse 7, has saved me from our enemies and has put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Go down now to verse 20. This is where the quotation comes from. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of our heart, of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake! Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. So the emphasis is in this whole section. Well, you have to read verse 26. You get down there. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. For thy sake is the emphasis on the verse about we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. The only reason that we have temptations is because we are Christ and we do belong to him. And therefore, we are... sometimes it feels like we're sheep led to a slaughter. But we can do the same prayer that the psalmist did. That's what it's supposed to remind us of is, arise, help, God, you are our victory, you are our life. Just exactly like Andrew and Warren both sang about, Christ is our life. He gave us everything. That's why we can say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're not little sheep led to a slaughter. So back to this idea of weapons, okay? The first thing that I've been telling you about is how innocency and the purity that we have in Christ is the reason we can pray for each other, and that's the foundation for our victory. I was thinking of an example of innocency, and Elizabeth's almost getting too old to where she has her own opinion about things, so I think Samuel is a really great example of an innocent one, because he's 6 months old, right? And if you come up to him, you know, he's just like looking all around, and then so he sees somebody that he recognizes, and he just goes and has this great big huge grin. It's like, it's so pure. It's so pure-hearted. And it makes you smile too in return, right? Well, there is something, just think about what innocency means to you. And what that does is that that's how God sees us. He doesn't see us as the rebellious teenager or whatever else. He sees us as this beautiful six-month-old child who's just going, yes, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you say, Father. And reaching up, you know, the same way like little children, they just reach up to you to want to have you embrace them and hold them. Anyway, it's just a wonderful example of that kind of purity. And we have that in Christ. So, now, there are several other weapons. So, we have to go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the wonderful psalm that every letter of the Hebrew alphabet has a section, right? So I was looking at the section that starts with the letter Z. It's pronounced Zion. And it starts in verse 49. And lo and behold, this section of Psalm 119 actually tells us several other weapons that we have that are the power of God. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The word remember starts with Z. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me or given me life. So actually, there is a weapon that we have, which is the word. The word is what gives us life. That's what we're doing today. We are looking into the Word, right? And it is teaching us about what we have in Christ and how we can take this weapon and use it to bless God's people, to have victory in every situation. So that's one of the weapons we have, is the Word. And then it goes down to verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. I have remembered thy name, O Lord. So what God did, I mean, this is Old Testament, right? He, in the Old Testament, he was talking about the name Jehovah. But in the New, he has literally given us the name of Jesus Christ to use for every situation. So we have the word and the name added to the purity. Those three weapons are extremely powerful. Now, the name of Jesus Christ is something I think that we use over and over and over and over again, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it loses the punch, let's say. And the trick to changing that in our thinking is to say it a different way. Some people will say, in the name of Yeshua the Mashiach, or in the name of Jesus the Messiah. If you just change Christ to Messiah, all of a sudden it has more punch. we're supposed to stop and really consider, what does Jesus Christ mean? Well, this is the third thing that I wanted to tell you about, is that God showed me the name, that a new name of Jesus Christ that I didn't know before. And so I want to show it to you. It's in Micah chapter 2. And this came from one of those daily devotional things you can read, you know? And this one was from Charles Spurgeon. And it happened to be the one yesterday. And this was his verse that he used in the devotion, was Micah 2:13. Which is not like every day that I go and read Micah, so it was kind of neat that it was this particular verse. It says, "The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord at the head of them," or on the head of them. According to the Jews of the Old Testament, one of the names of the Messiah was going to be the breaker through. The breaker. And listen to this. This is what he wrote. It's so amazing. Okay. "Inasmuch as Jesus has gone before us, things remain not as they would have been had he never passed this way. He has conquered every foe that obstructed the way. Cheer up now then, thou faint-hearted warrior. Not only has Christ traveled the road, but he has slain your enemies. Do you dread sin? He nailed it to the cross. Do you fear death? He has been the death of death. Are you afraid of hell? He has barred it against the advent of any of his children. They will never see the gulf of perdition. Whatever foes may be before the Christian, they are all overcome. There are lions, but their teeth are broken," just like Daniel. "There are serpents, but their fangs are extracted. There are rivers, but they are bridged or fordable. There are flames, but we wear that matchless garment which renders us invulnerable to fire. The sword that has been forged against us is already blunted. The instruments of war which the enemy is preparing have already lost their point. God has taken away in the person of Christ all the power that anything can have to hurt us. Well then," he goes on, "they're beaten, we are victorious," all these great things. He goes, "you shall, it is true, often engage in combat, but your fight shall be with a vanquished foe." That's the reason we have the right to pray for each other in every situation. And that's my exhortation about this, is that let's pray for each other in the next days, whoever, whatever, wherever we go, in the name of the breaker through. He's the one who opened the prison so that men could get set free. He's the one who broke through all the captivity and all of the enemy's ploys to give us the victory. That's why we have the victory. And he put this weapon, this breaking through weapon, in our hand and said, "Here you go. You can use my name. And in that name, you will be able to break through anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Nothing shall harm you." Go back now to Romans chapter 8. We'll just end here. We have the innocency that God gave us and the purity that is in Christ. We have his word, and he gave us his name to use, the name that is above all names, that every knee has to bow, the name of the Lord Jesus, breaker through. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who broke through, and all we have to do is follow him. That's it. So, you get to Romans 8. Let's just read it again. Start in verse 35. What will separate me from the love of Christ? Is it trial or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, because of you, for your sake, every day we are dying and we are counted as sheep, as lambs for the slaughter. But no, on the contrary, we don't have to be counted as a little lamb that's just going to go on this road and there's nothing you can do to prevent it. We truly can be victorious because God has given us his weapons to use. He put them in our hands. And he said, here you go, you are made righteous and blameless and totally innocent before me. Therefore, you don't have to look at the rock on the outside. You can look at the crystal that's on the inside. I've given you my word that teaches you everything there is to know about walking by the Spirit, about how to use the weapons, right? And I gave you the name of my son who was the one who broke through anything that the hardest things that the enemy could ever throw at anybody, he won against. And we have him inside of us. So I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor authorities, nor powers, nor things present, nor future, nor height, nor depth, neither any other created thing will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reason he gave us these weapons was because God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son so that we could have this victory. And like I said, I think that we have to make up our minds to not settle for living around the rock part, but just to go forward and just say, who can I pray for today? I mean, this past week, I started feeling really sick one day. Barney prayed for me. Then somebody called me up. Then I got to pray for them. Then there's something else going on over here, and we get to pray for that. And prayer, you know, is another wonderful weapon. So I really have only concentrated on these three things just to try to show you how God put the power in our hands. So what are we going to do with it? Are we just going to say, oh, isn't that nice? Or are we going to go ahead and use it and start slashing the sword of the Spirit and start walking out on the victory, because God made us to be more than conquerors through him because he loved us. So God bless you.